He's always been faithful. He's always been faithful to me.
To you that are visiting, that those are Lynn's children. All right, them children's been here all, even though they live far away, they've been here until they growed up, all right? They used to come to Vacation Bible School, and then when they got older, then they helped in Vacation Bible School. So they've been like they've been here all along, and if you don't believe it, all you had to do was ask Doug, and he'd tell you, all right? I guarantee you. I'm glad to see them. Glad to see them be here. Good privilege to be in God's house. Let me get a few things out of the way. We got graduation, Christy. The card appeared mysteriously from this morning to tonight. But Christy's graduation, as well as others, is this week. So remember them in your prayers. Go if you possibly can. You are invited. Football field on Thursday for Christy and them. Don't forget, services tomorrow, 10 o'clock. And then the service will actually start. That's visitation, and service will start at 12. And just keep that in mind. Come, be here if you possibly can. And I was told to remind you, if you got a blanket, lose it. All right? Otherwise, it'd be lost. So keep that in mind. It looks funny up here with these front two pews missing. I'm telling you, I can't hardly get used to sitting on the second row. But I did tonight, and I don't like it one bit. But no. But we do that every time we have a funeral. So keep that in mind. Don't forget now to pray one for another member of those that's sick. If you have your Bible, I'll not take us long tonight. I would like for you to turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Sometimes over the years, I thought about it on the way up here to church. I get reminded if I ever preach a sermon, because people write down stuff and I don't. I write, I underline, I circle and all that kind of stuff in my Bible, but I don't write down when I preach a message. But others do in here, and they have from time to time told me, well, you preached it again, and they'll say 2 years ago or whatever, and I'm thinking, I don't ever remember doing that. Well, tonight's the night. I don't ever remember going to this passage of Scripture. So that might be the truth. It might not. I just don't remember it. So the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, and I want to read verses 14. Yes.
You preached that October 16th
at
revival at New Stockwell.
Goodness. I don't never remember it.
You did.
Oh, wow.
Me and Kim and Charlene
sang. Sure enough, I remember you.
And Joel and Janice, Kim's mother and daddy. They were there with Charlene.
Wow. That is, now you know what I have put up with, Lynn. What was the song that y'all sung?
We quit doing it. Charlene, I'm here on business for the King. We did not do well.
How long did I preach? So I'll know how long to preach now. Man.
You say that was 1916?
Yeah. It was October the 16th of 1998.
Wow. No wonder I didn't remember that. Tim, did you have that down in your notes? Kind of takes me a minute after getting over that right there. It really does, because you kind of think that now he's gonna judge me on everything that I say tonight, because I have no idea what I said 28 years ago. I really don't. So we're good on that, all right? Chapter number 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for the privilege that we can gather. And I thank you, God, for the privilege of the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. And I pray you help us. And God, we pray that the hour of need is so great, and God, we just pray that you supply that. No, you never forsake us, you never leave us, and I'm thankful for that. And God, bless and touch each heart in Jesus' name. Amen. The man Alexander the coppersmith, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking. We have no idea exactly what he did. No idea. I mean, we can throw a lot of things out there. But when the Apostle Paul said he did me much evil, it's very easy for us to let human nature kick in. Human nature, we like to claim to be spiritual, don't we? Especially when we're talking to others that are saved, and especially when it would be very easy to let the old flesh kick in at times. And it's so easy to revert back to our carnal ways. There's been a lot of folks in our time that's been saved that's had fighting abilities, that's been able to defend things by their fist. And it'd be so easy for people like that to be able to say, well, I'll take care of you when we get outside. But the Lord did something to the Apostle Paul that should relate to every one of us. The Lord did something that he would be willing to sacrifice all, and if I can say it this way, for the word of the Lord. Now, when Paul wrote this, this wasn't a Bible like we know it. But for me and you, it has transitioned to a Bible. We didn't get to live what the Apostle Paul lived through. Because when you experience things by going through them, you depend on what you have learned, been taught, read from. Those are the things that hold dear to you. The Bible doesn't just necessarily a bunch of words that God blessed. It's a bunch of words that God fitly formed together. There's not a verse in this Bible that at somewheres along the journey has been a great help to somebody. Whenever I read some of the difficult passages in the Scripture, some of those that say, well, I didn't really get anything out of it, who knows who God intended that for? And who knows the strength that they required to be able to say, well, God sent me a message. God sent me a word, because I truly depend, and I truly depend upon God in my troubled times to be able to give me, and I want to say it this way, a reason. And God doesn't have to justify one thing to me. But I sure like it when God begins to tell me, here's what's going on. Here's the why of what's going on. Here's an individual that stood against the word, stood against the Apostle Paul. And it'd be very easy for the Apostle Paul to lash back out at him. It'd be very easy for him to say, I'll get revenge. It may not be now. It may not be in 6 months, but I'll get this rascal back for whatever he's done against the Lord's work or himself as a Christian. That ain't the way Paul worked. Paul said he did me much evil. The Lord reward him. The Lord reward him. I don't think it was a sarcastic way of saying the Lord reward him. The Lord punish him. The Lord bless him. I really think he was turning him over to the possession of God. Now, when you are following God's will, and then for some way, some means, somehow, the results of what's happening, you're turned over to God, you might ought to listen. If you're in the hands, friend, it's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of a living God. I know that's a reference to lost. And I know that deeper meaning, it's a fearful thing. But friend, the Apostle Paul wasn't trying to say, well, I'm going to get you for this one. I'll just turn you over to God. No, he just turned him over to God. See, there's a difference.
You said, well, that's the same words two times. But it's a difference when you have no malice, no will, ill will as I would really call it, no will against that person, and then yet you turn them over to God and let God handle. Why in the world would somebody want to criticize God's man? Why would somebody want to criticize? Well, friend, if they criticize the Lord and what he did, they sure going to criticize me and you. We'll not find ways to get around criticism from the devil and his crowd. We'll not find ways to be able to outsmart the devil. Not us. But the Bible gives a specific plan, and there's just a couple of three things in here, but there's a specific plan on how you turn someone over to the devil in a way that God says, well, I'll just turn him over to the devil. And boy, howdy, well, the devil, if someone is turned over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh so that the spirit might be saved, oh my goodness. That ain't what Paul did. He turned him over to the Lord. I want you to notice with me just a couple of things. Look at verse 16. At my first answer, well, let me get 15 just a moment. Of whom be ye there where also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. No man stood with me. When you go through the battles of life as a Christian, you can't tell me there's not times when you feel like you're standing alone. When you are fighting in the Lord's army, there are times when you feel like you're standing alone. The support of the church is a marvelous thing. And I'll have to say here, I've got full support of the leadership of the church, the deacons of the church. I've never had to stand alone when it come to trouble. If any trouble would raise its head, there would be so many times that trouble would be handled, and it wouldn't be handled by me. God would already take care of it. But it would seem like when you would start to stand that you're going to stand even if you have to stand alone. Sometimes God puts us in a position to see what we will do, how we will react. The Apostle Paul was no different in human in heart, human in thoughts, and human in feelings. But he had knew and he had served a God that caused him to think more spiritual than carnal. And to stand alone separates from the crowd, doesn't it? To be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to be able to testify in the midst of all kinds of trouble, to be able to put yourself in a position that if no one else does anything, just like the Old Testament, when if you're going to be on the Lord's side, he caused some separation. It was kind of like saying, if you're going to be on the Lord's side, get over here. But you're willing to stand when others won't stand. I'm kind of sick of our church world in a lot of respects in some of the modern realms. Some of the modern realms wouldn't know what it was. If trouble comes, they wouldn't stand because they didn't have any depth. The scripture talks about the seeds that are sowed in the book of Matthew. It talks about the seeds that are sowed into the ground. And if it was a seed that was upon that, the shallow or kind of on that stony or kind of real kind of no roots up at all, when that seed is sowed out there, it ain't going to do much. Why? It doesn't have any depth of earth. Little do we realize the old country church that's around today
that teaches and preaches God's word. Those are the type of churches, whenever they teach and preach, all they're doing is rooting and getting grounded deeper and deeper and deeper. And I thank God that there's still churches that teach and preach the truth, no matter what kind of things that's going on in our modern world, because still that's what makes a person stronger. And the Apostle Paul said in this particular verse, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but I'll guarantee you this, but all men forsook me. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said, and that's exactly what happened to the Lord. His disciples run left and right when it come time for them to stand, and they ran. Jesus even told them they're going to run. They ran. One of them said, well, Lord, you don't know, not me. He ran. I'll not deny you. He denied. It seems like we're needed, but when we're needed, it's so easy to fail. It's easy to fail. Little kids, as they begin to walk, you know they're going to fall. You know they're going to bust that knee. And lo and behold, when they're first taking them steps, you just want to help them along. The best thing to do is just try not to let them bust their skull open and let them go, because they're going to fall. Now, as a Christian, I'm glad the Lord went through a time when everybody forsook him. I'm glad of that. Because you see, whenever you need God's people and they run, you won't feel like you're the only one that's ever went through something like that. And it takes going through something like that to learn to appreciate when folks will stand with you. Because standing with folks that are going through tough spiritual times is the backbone of any church and the backbone of any Christian, when they'll stand alongside. You don't have to say anything. You just stand alongside. I've told you this a dozen times. Let me tell you a dozen more. The old preachers that stood up here in the pulpit, and they'd have folks lined up left and right, as the old Scotch, as I'd call it. And when they'd have folks on the left and on the right standing up there with you while the preacher's preaching, that was an old-time way of doing something, but that old-time way worked, because, friend, if you was going to go through the preacher, you had to get through them other folks first. It may not sound like much, but you don't want folks to forsake you. You'd rather them go along with you. The Apostle Paul was brave in his words at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. You remember what Jesus said on Calvary's cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Little words, but it had a huge meaning, wasn't it? Little words. Anybody can say those words. Had a huge meaning. Because, friend, if Jesus can forgive those, man, what in the world are me you doing? I'm glad God puts upon us a little backbone. I'm glad God puts upon us strength when we're weak. And I'm glad God gives us a word to say when it seems like no word will do. Stephen, when he was in the process of getting stoned, it made a statement like, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. In other words, saying, don't hold this against them. It takes a lot, doesn't it? It takes a lot to get words from God in situations like what Alexander the coppersmith did. It takes driving down deep to understand that when folks are standing against the message of God, there's a way out. Now, there's a way. I always talk and refer to this, and there's a way that seemed right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I like that one. Well, watch this. Verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood
with me. Man, I've been in a lot of situations where I'm glad the Lord stood with me. Sometimes I preach behind the pulpit, scared to death, almost knees knocking, not knowing what the words is going to be next. And I'm glad to know I'm never there alone. And I know that when you witness to somebody that's lost, somebody that's dying and fixing to go to hell, that's a huge responsibility. But I'm glad to know God's laid the blueprint in this Bible, and whenever you preach this word, you don't ever have to back up, because God will stand with you. Whenever he said, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. I don't think he held back, do you? I think in time of troubles is when you want to preach everything you got. Years ago, when folks that used to go to the street corners and preach, used to get some folks to stop by. I told you about the times when we was in Nashville, in downtown Nashville, they'd be street corner preachers, and they wouldn't be nobody stopping and slowing down. They'd just be going on about their merry way, and that didn't stop them fellas from preaching. And we'd stop and kind of watch, and I'd kind of watch the crowd, and they just kept on going. Little did they know, that is so uncommon today, but it used to be a thing that a courthouse would always have somebody down there preaching or somebody doing something like that, and all they were trying to do was warn the wicked of their wicked way. There'll come a day when they wish there was a street corner preacher. But I'm glad God will stand with us. God will never leave us, no matter who stands against the message. He strengthened me that by the preaching might be made fully known, that all Gentiles might hear. And I want to hurry, but watch this. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You think the Apostle Paul had any insight on what that meant? Do you think for one moment that he was in a situation that God failed to love him? No. Do you think he was in a situation where that God forsook him? No. He already said, I know God stood with me. But I believe that God just kind of relayed a story that me and you know, and know it so well, that even though you might be in a cave with a whole bunch of lions, God knows exactly what to do with the mouth of a lion. God knows what to do when our message is being fought against. God knows when our testimony is being fought against. The Bible tells us, after we've done all to stand, stand therefore. That means when you don't feel like standing, you keep on standing. A couple of the guys around here that's been through the military, and I like to share the war stories. I listen to them because their stories are fresher. And I remember standing at attention, and they would just make us standing at attention, and you can't move at that time. If you move, you pay the price. And you're standing there, and you're standing there, and you think, good Lord, how much longer are we going to stand? And next thing you know, they let us move. And it's like, whew, I couldn't have stood it no longer. The reason why I say that is, listen, this makes a whole lot of sense to me. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You think you can't move. You think you're frozen still. If you was in the face of the cave with a lion, you think you're dead. But I'm glad to know God can call us to attention, and we can move. We can't move. We're just standing there as rigid as we can be. But guess what? God doesn't demand us to be a perfect still creature. God says you can move and be delivered from the mouth of a lion at the same time.
You may want to play dead, but I got news for you. God don't play dead. I'll end it with this, verses 18. The Bible says, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." That sounds good, but watch this last part. "To whom be glory forever and ever." You know what that sounds like? It sounds like the Apostle Paul was in a church when he says, "Be glory forever and ever." In other words, he was praising God. Boy, in times, whenever it seems like no one can help you out, God can deliver you. God, no matter who's against the message, God can deliver you. When no one else cares, God cares for you. Let's name about 1,000 Christians. We can name a few hundred out of this Bible and we can talk about them. God didn't have to intervene on the Apostle Paul. I think even though he was chief of sinners, but I think the Lord could have spent his time on somebody else that probably needed God a little bit more. Maybe just for a moment, that other person that was shipwrecked needed God more. Maybe that person that was possessed by demons needed God more. I got news for you. God just come up on the scene right there. They had a little church because when the Lord stood with the Apostle Paul, all he wanted to do was give God the glory. Now in your life, you're going to face things when the message you try to deliver about the Lord is not received. Don't you go in there and intervene and say, "I'll take care of this." Just turn it over to God. He'll make a sad situation look like church when you can give God the glory. When things are at its worst, God can make them look and feel at their best. When it seemed like nothing can ever stop that old broken heart, God knows how to mend it. When they're against your message, God knows how to deliver. I'm thankful God loves me enough. If need be, he can answer my prayer immediately. He don't have to wait. Many times I think, "God, where's my answer? Where's my answer? Where's my answer? If you're not going to answer, just tell me, where's my answer?" I'm glad when God speaks Johnny on the spot and don't have to wait, no hesitation. I know God is with me. He has delivered me. I wouldn't take nothing from salvation. Best thing in the world hit me was salvation. I don't care about church membership. I sure care about salvation. Don't care about how long a testimony I got. I sure care about salvation. Because if I wasn't saved, I wouldn't have a church, and I sure wouldn't have a testimony. And I'm thankful for that. How about you? Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. Don't know your heart or your life, and know the Lord. He has fought against the message, but God delivers every time. Every time. Not just one time. Every time. He delivers. And he can deliver you if you're having those kind of problems. If you're not saved, God can deliver you only through the forgiveness of sin. Let's stand on our feet and sing a verse of a song. God's speaking to you. You come.